the Rosin Box was started by my parents, Angela and Dave Jenkins, back in 1977. We were a dance family, mostly in production. My sister Jen, who also helps me run the place now, was a dancer. We were very heavily into the production end, and my parents always wanted to have a store and decided the ballet business was the business to get into.
And that's 37 years ago.
37 years ago, March 11th. Mm-hmm. March 11th is our anniversary date.
What made you want to continue this business after your parents started it?
You know, I suppose I've been coming here and working every day after school since I was 16. And it's just was sort of a natural fit. It was a natural progression. The shop has been doing so well, and we've sort of found a niche here that having now three generations working between, you know, my mom, who I call the chief financial officer, my dad, who still comes in on call, as I call it. My sister is working here, and I have my sons and my niece working here, too. So on any given weekend, you might find three generations of Jenkins family fitting you, and it's kind of cool. And we're now fitting second and third generation of dancers.
We're sitting around cubby holes that have toe shoes in them. Correct. And probably other kinds of dance slippers. What is the material that makes the point?
It's paste. It's flour, water, and sugar, basically. And it's probably always been that way, but there are companies that use a lot of paste, so they sound wooden almost. They appear wooden because there's not much give to them. And that's more of an old school style of shoe. Now shoes have become much lighter so that the dancer is able to break them in. The paste is there so that when the foot sweats and the moisture gets into the glue gets softer, and then the shoes become more pliable, and so it's easier for the dancer to roll through. The training's different now. In the olden days, if you look at pictures of, you know, Margot Fonteyn, one of the greatest ballerinas ever, if you look at her feet, they were like, yeah, you know, so-so by today's standards. Feet are trained much differently in softer shoes. You see more of the natural arch. And again, the foot is up there because of sheer strength, not because the shoe's propping them up by some device. So really, the flour, water, and sugar type of shoe, and again, there's other additives that they put to stabilize them and preserve them and all that, but it's basically almost like a papier-mâché with fabric instead of with paper. There's only one manufacturer that really has strayed from the flour, water, and sugar. Basically, Capizio and Fried and Block, they're all paste shoes, but they're all a little bit different. Some countries, you know, the Russian shoes are a little bit crispier because their training is such that, you know, it's a more of an accent up, where the European shoes are a lot lighter weight because the movement is a roll through, a more fluid thing. So there are different strengths and crispinesses, as I sometimes call it. Some of the harder shoes are very crunchy, where the English shoes, much like the Fried and the Suffolk Points, are very, very pliable, and they break in really fast. But they also die really fast, too. So softer the shoe, less durable, more expensive to wear, you know, and that's usually you'll find the more advanced dancers wearing the softer shoes, and the very, very beginners, because you really want to make sure that at the very beginning, the dancer is in the softest thing that will support their feet so that they can strengthen their feet and they don't rely on the shoe.
Generally, when somebody is really an accomplished dancer, they probably know exactly what they're looking for, I would think, in a toe shoe. But when they're not, you said that, you know, one area of your expertise is fitting them. So what are you doing?
Right. So what we'll do is we bring each dancer through a very basic fit. We'll start with, you know, age, you know, growing feet versus non-growing feet, the shape of their foot, wide feet versus skinny feet, what they put in their shoes, big toe pads versus just loose wool, flexibility of the foot. I have a, you know, sort of a science side to me as well. So I use this algorithm that's sort of been floating around in my head, and I'll bring the kids through a really basic, when we get down to, okay, do these really fit? Are these really acceptable for you? So the size is really important. So that's a, you know, a length and width issue. That's pretty easy. That's the easy thing to do. Shape. There's a way that we can tell whether the shape is right for them. If they put a little weight and they start twisting, that's a bad thing. And then, you know, we'll let them go up on point and see where their flexibility is. Is that shoe too flexible? Is it too hard for them? Are they going to break them in, or are they going to grow out of them? So, you know, we take all this into consideration. And then I usually have the kids with two or three styles that I always say you could go eeny, meeny, miny, mo and walk out of here with the correct pair. But there's three in front of you that will do the same thing. You pick them out. You know, you tell me which ones you like the best. And then we do a final, make sure that, you know, the teacher's going to like them. The first pair of point shoe kids, the teachers have, you know, that fail safe of the teacher checking them out before they get to wear them. But the rest of the kids, it's sort of a trial and error thing.
Because that's, I'm not a dancer, but I do remember from way back that when you get to dance on point, you've graduated in terms of your skill.
Yes. In the olden days, it was much more, you know, a rite of passage. Now we're really starting kids very young, I think, on point. I think just in general, you know, our athletes are starting younger. We want to prepare them before their bodies kind of change. So you're sort of, you get a certain amount of kids that are almost a little bit too, it's too soon, you know, to tell whether this is going to be their thing or not. So they'll pick a pair of shoes because they're pretty. And then they'll wear them and they, maybe they're too hard or too soft. And they'll come back and say, well, maybe the pretty thing wasn't the way to go. Let's try something a little different. I liked them except for, and we go by except fors, you know. Tell me what you didn't like, because what you don't like is more obvious than what you will like. And I always tell my kids that it's easier to learn what you can't wear than what you can wear. And when you start to compile all this information and a pattern forms, you mentioned the professional dancers, they wear special order shoes. By the time they get to that level, they might come in here, I want a, you know, deep vamp, 3/4 shank, 2.5 in the back, and they'll know exactly what they want. But it's a trial and error process. It took them years to get to that point to where they know, sorry, no pun intended, where they know what they want in a point shoe.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.